Chapter 8.
As usual, Winry's rent was the first part of her that Edward saw.
"What the fuck, Winry?" he shouted from where he had fallen to the ground, one hand over the throbbing lump on his head. "What the fuck was this woman's deal, anyway? You don't even bother to ask me why I'm here before you give me another crack in my skull?"
"Nothing I could do to you could crack your skull," the girl snapped back, rage practically screaming off of her. She stood on the front of her porch, fists clenched.
Edward was really glad she seemed to only have one wrench at the moment.
"If I could get through to that brain of yours, you would have stopped breaking your automail a long time ago."
"You don't even know I've busted anything yet."
Ed picked himself back up off the ground and crossed his arms.
"Of course you've gone and broken it again. When else do you ever come home except when you've done something stupid and destroyed my masterpiece?"
"I didn't do anything fucking stupid. It was all Mustang's fault. Don't put it all on me."
"Don't you start blaming other people for things that are your fault, Edward Elric."
"I'm not. You're fucking nuts. Stop blaming me for things that aren't my fault."
Winry's face became God's holy terror in seconds.
Edward felt very cold.
"Get inside," she snapped.
"Yes, ma'am," he said, because she had direct control over a very important part of his body, and he wasn't about to antagonize her any more than he already had. The swollen lump on his head throbbed.
"Wait," she said, turning back into a human being again for just a moment as she looked around. "Where's Al?"
"Oh, thank God, safe territory again."
He smiled brightly, wishing he had thought to bring her a present this time.
"Oh, he's back in Central. Don't you worry about a thing. He's just taking care of business. We're doing contract work now. Somebody has to keep it up while I'm away,"
he said, passing through the open door into the warmth of the Rockbell home. The years hadn't changed the place at all. Still, it smelled familiar, comforting. The machine oil and fresh bread mixed with the clean smell of the countryside. And maybe just a little bit of Granny Pinaco's tobacco. Sometimes Ed missed the country air more than he could say. Central smelled like coal smoke and cars, and even as much as he would never want to move back here,
what the fuck would he do in Risenbowl after all this time? Raise sheep?
Sometimes he regretted that he didn't come back more often.
"Still the country boy after all these years," he thought with some amusement.
The way Winry lit up at Ed's mention of work brought a smile to his face.
"Really? The two of you have jobs now? That's great."
"Is that Edward I hear in there?"
Granny Pienko's voice drifted out from the kitchen, followed shortly by the woman herself, an unlit pipe in her mouth.
"So it is," she said. "It's been a while. What's this I hear about jobs?"
"It's not anything dangerous, is it?" Winry asked, deceptively sweet. "That's not how you busted your arm, right, Edward?"
"Actually, it's mostly organizing and making sense of research collections, with some planning and construction work. I'm getting to do some of my own research on the side, too. We're doing military stuff, but before you two get your panties in a twist, it's all strictly civilian shit. We take on the jobs we want, we don't take the jobs we don't, and none of it is particularly exciting. But it sure as hell beats sitting around the house all day doing a fat lot of nothing."
Edward walked over and dropped down onto the couch next to Den, who let out a quiet whine.
"I'm so excited that you two are settling down," said Winry, clasping her hands behind her back. "Can I come up to Central and see your new place sometime?"
"Yeah, of course, whenever," Edward said, giving Den a scratch behind the ears. "We've got time now. We'll be sticking around for a while."
Winry gave him that kind of look that made him squirm in his chair uncomfortable, and a little bit happy and a little bit guilty, too. She looked so goddamn happy sometimes when she smiled at him. He wanted to smile back because he liked it when she was happy. Of course he did. But he still felt like that smile expected something from him, though quite what that was, he couldn't be sure. He could make a guess, though. And though he might be sticking around one place for a while yet, it wouldn't be near her.
"Well, that's a relief. I was beginning to think you two would never stop running around doing dangerous things. I'm glad to hear I was wrong," said Granny Pienko. "I'm happy for you two, really, Ed."
Ed flashed and turned his head away.
Yeah, sure, he muttered. Whatever. You tell Alphonse to come home soon, won't you?
Edward grinned.
I don't really need to. He said he missed it in the first place. But he's also all responsible and shit, you know.
Yes, Alphonse always was the good brother, Granny Pianco said with a smile. She pulled a match from her pocket and struck it. Within moments, the smoke from her pipe had begun to haze up around her head in a circle.
Hey, what the fuck's that supposed to mean? Edward said, more out of habit than anything else.
I'm good, too.
If you were good, then you wouldn't be so careless with things that other people poured their heart and soul into, said Winry, not sounding too terribly angry. But then again, that wasn't a very good measure of her mood. She was one of the smiling psychopaths. Come back to my workshop. Let's take a look at the damage.
Granny Pianco turned back to the kitchen.
Don't be too rough with him, Winry, she said. I'm planning on making lamb for supper. It'll be nice if he were alive to eat it.
Alive? Can do, she replied, cheery.
And I like my remaining limbs, Edward whined.
Can you give a guy a couple of minutes break? He asked, even as he shifted and stood, giving Den a farewell pat.
There's no sense in wasting time, she said, putting her hands on her hips.
Edward shoved his hands in his pockets and slouched forward.
I'll get that lamb in the oven then, Granny said. Because the only reasonable response to violence was clearly food.
You're the best, Granny, Edward said before the rest of his sentence was cut off by a strangled yelp as Winry grabbed him by his hair and gave it a good yank, fairly dragging him backwards towards his doom.
Don't expect him for a while, though, the mechanic added, still smiling.
Den gave Ed a pitying sort of look, but didn't move to do anything, and the old lady ignored him entirely. The bitch. Winry's workshop looked just like it always had, which was comforting in its own steady way, though he was also fairly certain he could still see the faint stain of his own blood on the wooden floor, which wasn't so comforting.
Strip, she said, and jabbed her finger towards the chair.
Yes, ma'am, he said, because what else could you say when she got like that? He took off his brown leather jacket and unbuttoned the white shirt he wore underneath, leaving them piled on the small couch that had been his place of refuge through many a bout of verbal and physical violence. The chair next to the desk that Winry liked to work at glowered at him, but he sat down in it anyway, like a man. He stretched his metal arm out onto the desk as she brought over a tool case full of whatever torture implements she planned to test on him. She sat down on the other side of the table, took out a screwdriver, and began to carefully remove the screws that held his arm plating down.
How's business been? Ed asked, just to fill the weirdly empty silence between them.
Your apprenticeship going well?
Yeah, definitely, she said, never looking up from her work.
Rush Valley is really the place for me to be. I have quite a few loyal customers. Actually, I'm starting to make a bit of a name for myself, she said, corners of her mouth curving up faintly. But it's always nice to come home and spend time with Granny, too. It's not like I could just up and abandon the family business, you know?
Yeah, of course not.
And besides, what I'm doing in Rush Valley is good advertising for Granny. I don't make a lot of money from the apprenticeship, and that's fine. It's not really the point, because I'm only getting a percentage of what we make on each commissions. But I take some time off every so often to come back here and work with Granny on her own stuff. Between the pieces we're designing for people here in Resemble and the ones I bring back to Rush Valley, we're really kind of making a mint.
That's good to hear, he said. The last screw fell out of his arm and hit the table.
I was always surprised that you and Granny got enough business being out in the middle of nowhere like this.
Well, some people appreciate fine craftsmanship and are willing to make the trip to get...
Edward?
What is this?
She said, interrupting herself. Her tone was suddenly very different.
What have you... Is this wire melted? She asked.
Eyes bright blue and some combination of sad and confused that Ed liked even less than the look of murder. Ed glanced down into his arm and, okay, it did look pretty bad. The wires had stained the inside of his casing in bright splashes of copper, coating delicate gears and ball gearings in thin sheets of metal.
Maybe? Edward said, trying not to look as nervous as he felt. It's not so bad. It was all over in a second, so it didn't really hurt. The rest of me is fine, so it's all okay.
This is not what I would call okay, she said, gesturing emphatically at his arm with her screwdriver. It's melted, she repeated, then paused, eyes widening.
Edward did not like the look of realization that was dawning across her face. So, when you said it was all General Mustang's fault?
Yeah, put it on that bastard's tab, he said, cutting her off. I've got his address and shit in my bag. You can mail him the bill and charge him double just for being an asshole.
She frowned. But why was the general using his flame attacks on you?
Sparring wasn't any big deal, he said,
and felt the heat start to rise to his face. What would Winry think if she knew?
Okay, sparring I could get, but melted?
Why wasn't he going easy on you? She asked, brow furrowing.
Edward snorted. You think I'd let that bastard go easy on me? I am not that pathetic. He trusts me to take care of myself. I won, in any case,
he said, allowing himself a hint of pride. She prodded the inside of his arm. Of course, she would have noticed that the hydraulics wouldn't move anymore.
You're such an idiot, she said, eyes down to the table. His fire attacks could kill you.
He should have been keeping better control over himself. He's dangerous, she said softly, and Edward felt his stomach lurch for reasons he didn't quite understand.
Hey, now, he said, frowning, don't go blaming him for everything. Was my fault I didn't get out of the way fast enough. It was an accident. He didn't do anything wrong. It was my fault.
She sat in silence for a moment as she removed another piece, then held it up to her eye, examining it distantly. Then Edward went cold, broke out into a sweat that felt like ice on him, the room suddenly small and oppressive and shit. For the first time, it dawned on him.
Don't make that face, Edward said, looking away towards the door as guilt began to sink through the panic and settle in his gut. On the one hand, Mustang was Mustang, and they were together, or whatever, and the man had given Ed his alchemic code and was fucking good to him, even though Ed was a moron and an asshole and socially stunted, had no idea how to do any of this. On the other hand, he was also the man who killed Winry's parents.
He couldn't believe he had never thought of this before, never put two and two together to make disaster, never thought about what he was doing in terms of the people around him and not just what he wanted and what Mustang wanted. This whole thing had been fucked up to begin with. Edward had suspected he was sick in the head already, and this proved it. Because what kind of person would he have to be to sleep with the man who killed his oldest friend's parents? They had been like an aunt and uncle to him. Could there possibly be a worse betrayal?
And why shouldn't I make that face? I'm worried about you, she replied. And Edward shrank down into his chair, shoulders hunched.
She was worried about him?
Shit.
There was a silence. She prodded his metal arm with her screwdriver. This arm isn't going to be a quick fix, you know, she said, sounding steadier than she had a moment ago. Automail focused her, centered her, just like alchemy did for him. I'm going to have to take it off, okay? He nodded, then said, please don't worry about me, though. I'm fine. Al and I are both fine. Please don't. He heard her stand and walk around the table, but couldn't look at her. She pulled a chair behind him and sat down on it, then took his arm in hand and worked it back and forth. The pressure plates on his shoulder warned him when she went for the latch. He tensed up on instinct, but there was no sound, no feeling there. Instead, she said, wait. Her voice soft and confused and frightening. She put a cool hand on his back, stroking it. Edward hissed and pulled away. Shit, that still hurt. He hadn't realized his back would take so long to feel normal again after his and Mustang's play in the warehouse. A voice in his head said, fuck, damn it all, damn everything, because it felt like she was tracing the whip marks on his back.
What are these cuts? She asked.
Edward's mind raced, trying to find an answer, trying to come up with anything to tell her that would make that tone go away, make her forget about this like it had never even happened. Wished with a sudden fervor that he had thought to wear his tank top or at least wait a couple more days after his and Roy's encounter before going to see Winry or anything.
Had Roy drawn blood that day in the warehouse?
Yes, he had. Ed remembered the wet trace of it on his back. He hadn't minded at the time, but now... Now he was faced with the consequences of his carelessness, just like he always was. He twisted away from her stinging hand.
Nothing. I got in a fight, that's all. I'll just take my arm off myself and get out of your way, okay?
He said, shooting to his feet and turning around so his front faced her. He didn't want to look at her, but he wanted even less to stay facing away so she could see those telltale marks across his back. Whether red welts or scabbed lines.
Did the general give you those too?
She asked. Her voice shook. He said, staring at the floor, mind spinning a million ways and still coming up with nothing to say. Part of him wished his fucking genius brain could magic him up some clever words, some reasonable lie that would explain everything. Part of him knew he shouldn't even try. Even though Winry deserved to be spared the suffering of knowing about all of this, Ed deserved every instant of her hate. His mouth remained stubbornly silent.
What are those marks from? They look like...
She paused and he saw her hands clench in her lap out of the corner of his eye. They look like whip marks. He winced to hear it from her mouth. He had been holding on to some small hope that she wouldn't recognize them. Because how often did a person see whip marks? That would have been a small mercy. But it occurred to him that marks like that wouldn't be so unfamiliar to a country girl. She had probably seen some badly treated horses over the years. That was just it, wasn't it? He had let himself get whipped like a horse or a dog. He had liked it. It was just as fucking bad as it looked. There was a painful silence between them that stretched. After a few moments, 30 seconds of pure torture, she spoke again.
Ed, why didn't you answer me when I asked if he gave you those?
I can explain, I swear, shit, he said, because he had to come up with something. Roy hadn't done anything wrong. It wasn't fair that Ed's mistake was about to demonize him further in Winry's eyes. The marks weren't Roy's fault. They were Ed's. He had asked for everything Roy had done. Then explain it to me quickly, because it looks pretty bad from here. She shot back, eyes narrowing. Look, I'm bad at explaining, but it's not a problem, okay? Fuck, I don't really want to have this conversation with you. Can you just drop it? He asked, hunching over and shoving his hands in his pant pockets again. No, I'm not going to drop this, she snapped. What's wrong with you? You never tell me anything and it's always scared me. You're scaring me worse now. At least back when you were a state alchemist, I had some idea what was happening with you. At least I knew what you were after. Now I don't know anything at all, and you won't even tell me. What's happening, Edward?
Well, I... Shit. It's complicated, he said, because it was. He's not abusing me or anything.
Her eyebrows shot up at his choice of words. Abusing. Implied that there was a relationship to begin with. He didn't want to imply anything.
Fuck, why couldn't he just lie to her?
It's fine, I swear.
Really?
Because whip marks? Your arm melted. That seems pretty messed up to me, she said, standing up and clenching her fists by her side, elbows locked.
Hey, the arm was an accident, Ed mumbled.
Oh, so the whip marks were on purpose?
Well, the marks weren't exactly.
Are you telling me, she said slowly, that General Mustang is whipping you, and you're letting him. Is this some kind of fucked up punishment?
He flinched to hear her use a word like that. It wasn't like she never cursed. It wasn't often.
You aren't making any sense, Edward, she said, voice going quiet again.
He looked up from the floor just in time to see her eyes go watery. Shit, Winry, don't cry. Please don't cry, he said. But his pleas were in vain, of course.
and he was the worst person in the world for making her want to.
Tell me what's happening, Edward. I worry. I worry so much. I worry about you going out to some town somewhere and sticking your nose someplace that doesn't belong and getting yourself killed for it. Or trying something stupid with alchemy, and then suddenly you're gone. No more Edward. That's bad enough. But now I find out that you're in the most danger when you're at home? What the hell is wrong with that man?
The last sentence, said through tears, held so much fury that he reacted on instinct.
Nothing. I was okay with this. This was on purpose, he finally managed.
I asked him to. Another deep silence.
Oh, Ed, she said,
and the way her voice broke when she said it, twisting something deep inside him.
Edward, you... I know that sometimes you feel like everything that's happened to anyone is your fault, but it's not. You shouldn't have to feel that way. You deserve better than whatever this is. You don't have to keep punishing yourself for everything you've ever done wrong.
Maybe not everything, but this thing he damn well deserved punishment for.
Winry, no, don't interrupt me. Listen, you don't have to let anybody do anything to you, least of all him. God, Edward, you know what he's done.
It's not like that, he said half-heartedly, feeling so very small and alone.
Fuck. He did know what Roy had done. He also knew that the man paid for it every day. He knew because he saw the look in the man's eyes sometimes. He remembered it from the end of their first fight, and from sudden moments and quiet conversations, and from that day when Roy had confronted him and Al by the river in Rosenbowl. They had never talked about their sins, and probably never would. They both had skeletons they would rather keep in the dark. But Winry, this wasn't a skeleton for her. It was a daily living emptiness where her parents had been.
What have you gotten yourself into? She asked, and that was it. She started crying, and Edward was the cruelest son of a bitch who ever lived for hurting her like this, hurting her in a million ways. She didn't fucking deserve any of this.
I haven't... What had he gotten himself into? Nothing he couldn't get himself out of. If it would make Winry feel even a little bit better, he would.
I'm sorry, Winry, he said, and turned to the door. He picked up his shirt and jacket on the way and shrugged them both on, sped through the living room, grabbed the handle of a suitcase, then was gone down the long road without another word. He knew they'd be looking for him, that they would go to his mother's grave and to the little bed and breakfast in town. Then when they didn't find him in either of those places, they would wait at the Rosenbowl train station the next morning before the train left. Edward resolved not to be there then, where he could talk to them and they to him. He took the train tracks and began to walk. 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 Each footstep steady and rhythmic and numbing. If he walked fast enough and far enough, he had told himself, he wouldn't have to think about it. It hadn't worked. It rarely did. He squeezed his eyes shut, fighting exhaustion. It had to be nearly morning now, and his feet burned from the strain of the all-night walk. He would call Alphonse first, he decided. Winry had probably called him, told him that Ed had gone missing, told him how worried she was. He had probably stayed up all night. Maybe they both had. He was a coward, he knew, but he just couldn't face her. He should have told someone where he was going, called Al, but he'd needed to get out of town as soon as possible. Now he had made Al worry, too. God damn it, he was going to have to call Roy. He owed the man that much. His stomach lurched again like it had earlier. Made him sick. Just didn't want to have that conversation. He didn't know what he was going to say. What could you say? He'd just have to fucking man up and do it anyway. He reached the next town just after daybreak. Checked the train schedules. God, where was he going to go? Lior, he decided after a moment, tapping his finger on the chart as if to reinforce his decision. He found himself a telephone booth and readied himself for the most difficult series of phone calls he was ever going to have to make. He straightened himself, took a fortifying breath, and dialed. The phone hardly finished its first ring before a breathless,
Hello?
Echoed from the other end. Hey, Al, said Edward, surprised at how dull his own voice sounded.
Brother, where have you been?
Edward winced, but didn't get a chance to reply.
Winry called last night, said you two fought and that you just up and disappeared. Nobody had seen you anywhere. I stayed up all night waiting for a call. Why didn't you? I was so worried, brother,
said Al. Even over the tinny phone speakers, Ed could hear how constricted the other's voice sounded. I'm sorry, Al. I'm fine. He looked around for a moment to see the name of the station, but then decided against it. I'm in some little town near Reasonable. I'm fine, he repeated, automatic. I'm sorry I made you worry.
You had better be sorry, or else I'm going to be very angry at you. What could you and Winry have possibly fought about? You two fight all the time. What makes this any different? She wouldn't tell me what happened. Said you ought to, so you had better. I hate being left in the dark. I knew I shouldn't have let you go alone. You can't do anything without me.
A brief laugh caught in Ed's throat. Yeah, you're right. I can't do anything without you.
So come back to Central right now. But first, if you tell me what happened, I can do some damage control.
You can't do damage control on this, Al, he said, and took a breath. Winry found out about me and Mustang. Mostly, anyway. Al went quiet for a moment.
And she wasn't happy, I take it?
I think that's an understatement. There were, marks on my back, and I was stupid about what I said. And so she found out, and what the fuck is wrong with me anyway? Said Edward. For a brief moment, he managed to summon up his usual energy, but it was gone almost as quickly. What the fuck is wrong with me? He asked again, quiet.
Brother, we've been over this. There is nothing wrong with you.
You and Roy are the only people in the world who don't think so. I let him fucking hit me, Al. That's supposed to be a thing you can go to jail for, hitting the person you're with.
It's different. We've talked about this, Ed.
There's that, he said, cutting his brother off. And the fact that he killed her parents? He killed them, Al, Edward said, the lump in his throat choking his words. He could keep it together. What the hell kind of fucked up person goes and fucks the man who did that? What must she think of me now? There was a long pause.
I don't know why I hadn't thought about it that way,
Al said, soft. Yeah, me neither. A pause.
She found out everything?
No, we didn't actually talk about it being a sex thing. I didn't tell her Roy and I were together. How the fuck could I? He let his shoulders sag, his head hang forward. I had to get out of there. I can't talk to her right now. I can't come back to Central either. Not for a while. I can't see him.
Brother, if you come back, we can talk this out. Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything you can't take back.
Don't you get it, Al? I already have done something I can't take back. I've hurt her so badly, and she's right to be hurt. God damn it, I have to. He put a hand up to his face, crumpled it over his eyes. I have to call him. We have to end it. This couldn't be any more fucked up. A breath. I have to go, Al. I'll call you at the next station I get to.
Wait, Ed, you have to think this over.
Goodbye, Al, said Edward, and hung up the phone. Roy's house felt strangely empty now, after several days without Edward in it. Funny how big the place seemed without Edward's expansive presence on his couch, in his kitchen, his library. Various alchemic texts still sat, stacked neatly on his coffee table, because the housekeeper knew better than to move books in use, but couldn't bear to just leave them strewn about the room like they had been. He picked up one himself, reading the title from the well-creased spine as he walked across his living room. Notes on Experimental Life Alchemy. A thriller, if he'd ever read one, but useful nonetheless, if he remembered correctly. He stopped in front of his phonograph, thumbed through the record collection shelved beside it, and picked a slow string quartet in A major. a favorite melody recorded by the strings section of one of the best orchestras in Amestris. He moved the needle to its proper position and turned the machine on, closing his eyes as the song began to play. Not a song that Edward would appreciate, he guessed. The Saturday morning was empty and peaceful. On days like these, he almost regretted being so attached to his job. Restless was the wrong word. Bored was more accurate. He walked back over to his couch and considered sitting down there. Eyed the phone, then the cushions, weighing each option. But who would he call? He didn't really have any friends save for his team, and they weren't usually appropriate companions for a Saturday afternoon. Prior to just a few weeks ago, he might have spent the day in the company of one of the endless ladies in his little black book. But he had a feeling that Edward wouldn't appreciate it. The man protected all of his chosen people with such a fierce loyalty that Roy couldn't help feeling guilty over even entertaining the idea of asking for an open relationship. The phone made his decision for him, a sharp ring startling him from his thoughts. He stepped over to pick it up.
"Hello? Roy Mustang speaking,"
he said, putting the book down on top of the cabinet next to the phone.
"Hey,"
he heard from the other end of the phone. Edward, clearly.
"Ed?" he asked with some surprise. "What are you doing calling at this hour? It's unusual for you to call."
"Yeah, just had to talk to you,"
he said. Roy frowned. There was something off about Ed's voice.
"Is something wrong?"
he asked, feeling suddenly that the question was urgent.
"Did something happen?"
"No. Well, maybe. I..."
Roy's heartbeat tripled in speed for a brief instant.
"What can I do for you?"
he asked, the silence. Though he knew whatever it was, there was probably nothing. Edward's laugh filtered, broken through the line.
"Stop being so nice and shit. No, you can't do anything."
He paused. Roy waited.
"There's a reason I called. We have to stop what we're doing. We can't see each other anymore, at least not for a while, and not ever the way we were."
The rush of adrenaline hit him like vertigo.
"I don't understand. What happened? There's clearly something you're not telling me."
A pause. No answer.
"Are you leaving me?"
"Yeah, I guess I am. I'm really sorry. I am, Roy. I don't mean to hurt you, but I guess I just can't help it. It's in my nature. Can't ever get away from that."
Roy closed his eyes. There had to be something else. Things had been just fine when Ed left. Better than fine. They had been figuring things out. Everything had been going right for once.
Or so he had thought. "Don't say things like that. They're not true. And if you're afraid of hurting me, there's a simple solution. Don't leave."
Ed laughed again. Roy liked the sound even less this time.
"I'm sorry. I have to."
The older man breathed slowly, steadily.
"Can you at least tell me why?"
"I can't. I really can't."
A pause.
"I have to go. My train's leaving."
"Wait, where are you going?"
"I don't know. Wherever I feel like."
"Edward, come back to Central. We can talk this out."
God damn it, what hadn't he done? What had he missed? What had he forgotten? He had been so careful, so very careful. What the fuck had he done?
"We really can't. I'm so sorry. Goodbye, Roy,"
he said, and left Roy with only the heavy click of the phone returning to its cradle.